Welcome to the Daily Cardinal Sportscast. I am Jack Baer, one of the sports editors. With me is Jim Dayton, my fellow editor, and we are here to talk about some baseball. All-Star game was yesterday. Jim, thoughts?
Well, let's start with Monday, the Home Run Derby, which really turned into a 3.5-hour snooze fest. It didn't start out well with a rain delay, hour-long, but then MLB changed up the format this year because there have been concerns in the past over the boringness of the Home Run Derby and the relative tiring out of the players as they go on. So to try to compensate for that, change this format around, think it would be better. Turns out they messed it up even more, I feel. And we had going on and on, Todd Frazier hitting one home run to get in the finals.
Yeah,
Giancarlo Stanton, no home runs. I mean,
that was just incredible. But yeah, I feel like the MLB just keeps overthinking the Home Run Derby, because I feel like at its best, it's an hour and a half event. It just is. It's guys saying dingers, but once again, like, anything can get kind of tired if you overuse it. I feel like they should just, you know, five players each league, player who hits the most home runs in each league, they do a playoff, maybe throw the futures game ahead of that. I feel like that would just be a lot more, that would just go faster, and it would still feel fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's glorified batting practice at its core. And, you know, when you go to the park before a game, you know, you can get really fascinated with the guys hitting home runs and hitting the balls to all fields. But, like, man, it doesn't hold your attention for longer than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome when guys like Stan hit to the third deck, like what Cespedes did in the finals last year, where he hit, like, what, three into the third deck, like, in the final round. That was awesome. But once you water it down with extra rounds with, you know, guys who maybe shouldn't belong there, like, you know, Brian Dozier, then it becomes a questionable event, and that really sucks, because a Home Run Derby should be awesome. It's like the slam dunk contest, which also got ruined by the NBA this year, but, you know, it's sad that a fun event like that's going down.
Yeah, and it's definitely a cool event. I mean, it's had some great moments in the past, obviously Josh Hamilton, but going back, you see highlights of Ken Griffey Jr. hitting the warehouse in Baltimore, you know, things like that. The event, it's not pointless or anything, but it just does not, you know, have that 3-hour appeal like MLB keeps trying to do with it.
Yeah. Speaking of MLB appeal, the Derek Jeter Memorial All-Star Game.
How about not the Tony Gwynn Memorial All-Star Game? No mentions.
That was just pathetic.
I didn't even realize it until later on.
Twitter told me to be angry. And I was once I realized. It's just,
yeah, and you know, when he passed away last month, or you know however long ago it was, it seemed, I first thought was, you know, it's coming right on the eve of the All-Star Game. This is going to happen. They'll do some sort of tribute to him, and no commemoration at all.
Yeah, and then going to the actual game, you know, I guess every MLB exec was just cheering when Derek Jeter hit that leadoff double. That was a nice little moment. Like, I'm a usually cynical person when it comes to narratives, but you know, it's still worth mentioning that All-Star games are meant to be celebration of the stars, and then when arguably the most recognizable star is in his last season, you gotta look at that. I mean, I feel like maybe we kind of lost some actual analysis of like players maybe who should be having the All-Star game, should be giving them their exposure, you know, and maybe that instead of another Derek Jeter montage, you know. But it's still him. I mean, yeah, it's. Oh, God.
Yeah, the at-bat was awesome. The Fox News, Fox Network team did a really good job of just sitting back, not saying anything. They let the crowd take over. I thought that was really cool.
You know who let Jeter take over? Adam Wainwright.
supposedly he didn't, as he said, mid-game, but I don't know. I think people are making a bigger deal out of it than it needs to be. It was a cool moment, and as it's an All-Star game, even though it counts for home field advantage in the World Series, it really, you know, doesn't really matter. Even if he did do it on purpose, yeah. I don't care, and I don't think anybody else really should either.
Yeah, I also kind of objected because a big narrative that seemed to emerge is that Mike Trout would be taking over for Derek Jeter as the face of baseball. And, you just see a bunch of people tweet about that. And I feel that's misleading just because Trout right now is better than, like, relative to the MLB, is better than Jeter has ever been. Like, Mike Trout is the undisputed best player in baseball right now. Like, maybe Troy Tulowitzki, maybe Clayton Kershaw have arguments when they're healthy, but you could trade Trout for any two players in baseball right now, probably. And I feel like that just Jeter, the reason he's the face is not just his playing, it's his charisma, it's his establishment on the Yankees. But meanwhile, Trout, like, he's kind of a dull interview, to be honest. Like, you see him on in his post-game interviews, and it's just cliche after cliche. I mean, but that Jeter did that too, but, you know, at least he was...
I think MLB could really use this whole concept of face of the game, and it's really tough for MLB to do that because, you know, in football, you can market the quarterback. You can market a personality like Richard Sherman, somebody like that. Basketball, obviously, is a very, like, superstar-driven league with, you know, LeBron and Durant, you know, all those types of guys. Personalities like Blake Griffin. MLB, you tend not to see that personality sometimes, and it's also because it's such a team game. You know, no matter what, you know, a star pitcher is only pitching every fifth day. A batter is only getting four at-bats.
Yeah, and the fan bases are so localized. So, I mean, guys like, you know, Chris Paul going up with New Orleans, like, everyone, you know, would want to watch him, but, you know, and it was possible to do that, but, like, you know, if Padre is having a breakout season, like, I don't know, Tyson Ross, no one's going to hear about that. And also, I want to say, just comparing LeBron, like, I remember there was a Fangraphs post about LeBron James, and Fangraphs is a statistical baseball website, and they decided to determine how good a player would have to be to have the same impact as LeBron on a basketball team. And I just love this. Their answer was, he'd have to have the bat of Barry Bonds in his prime, maybe a little better, the defense of Ozzie Smith, and then it's just, he'd have to be a pretty good pitcher too, which just, I found that hilarious. It's just, it's a testament to just what baseball is. It's not driven by its superstars, it's driven by its depth. I mean, the best team in baseball right now, the Oakland A's, you can't really name, like, the best player off the top of your head. They're guys with different arguments. But what makes them so good is that they lead the league in the number of good players. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of love them for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and baseball is also it's a game really built on nostalgia. You think of a lot of these guys, you know, when you have conversations, it's a generational game too. You know, you have the connection with your family. You talk to your dad about it or something like that. You know, they'll recall, you know, their favorite players, but, you know, it's hard for you to sort of capture what the players of today's game mean to you, you know, in the historical context of baseball. You have guys back in the day, you know, oh, that guy was the best hitter I ever saw. Well, it's tough to really make that comparison now because it's harder to gauge in the present.
Yeah. All right. I guess moving on, we should go to the second half of the season as the All-Star break is our little halfway point. Right now, I feel like Mike Trout and Troy Tulowitzki are the clear and probably not going to be challenged unless barring injury. Like, those guys
are barring injury or barring some major drop off.
Yeah, they're the
production.
They're the unicorns. They're the most talented players in baseball. They're winning this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Cy Young, I guess in the AL, Felix is probably leading the whole thing.
Yeah, and Felix just sort of on a different level statistically than, you know, the guys around him. As far as, there are other guys with great stats, but they don't have that sort of, like, background of Felix. They're kind of like, you know, I don't know if this is his one great year or if this is the start of something to come. We don't know that. We have the track record of Felix Hernandez, and I think it's safe to say he's not falling off.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in the NL, there's a bit of a controversy. You know, people were accusing Mike Matheny of taking Adam Wainwright over Kershaw as the starter. Definitely didn't help when Wainwright gave up three runs in the first. But I feel like in the first half, Wainwright was the quote-unquote Cy Young of the half. You know, he did the most production because Kershaw has been, on an inning basis, the best pitcher in baseball. It's not close. He just does everything well. But he's still lost a month, like over a month. So, extrapolating over a full season, you know, expecting Kershaw to do what he's been doing, he's winning the Cy Young if he doesn't fall off. But right now, like, Wainwright is in the lead. It's just Kershaw's going to catch him.
And I mean, the thing is with, you know, Kershaw, I don't have any problem with Wainwright starting. I think you could have made a case for Johnny Cueto to start the All-Star game as well.
Cueto's really good.
But, I mean, Kershaw, when you put his stats over the full season and just the domination he's had, and not only that, but he's acquired this sort of, like, folk hero-ish, you know, this guy is the guy, you know, and you, when you have that type of label, you sort of come out on top in a lot of things like that.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Cueto. I feel like he's always underrated just because, A, he does one thing better than anyone in baseball, which is hold runners. There are just some insane stats about how no one can steal on him, and he just gets pickoffs. And he also pitches in Great American Ballpark, which allows 70 to 80% more home runs than the average baseball park. So I feel like we just have to keep giving shout-outs to him because, you know, he's just good. And because Grace Satterfield has a gun to my head right now.
Particularly when you compare ballparks, you know, how much of a factor is it? But, you know, you talk about Dodger Stadium is one of the best pitcher's parks in baseball, and Great American is definitely one of the probably top five hitter's parks
definitely.
In the league. That's not to take away anything from Kershaw, but Cueto definitely deserves to be in the conversation at least.
Yeah, he's the clear number three at least.
At least, yeah.
And then, I feel like the MVPs felt pretty clear, the Cy Youngs feel pretty clear, and so do the rookies, because AL looked like it was just going to be a two-horse race between Tanaka and Jose Abreu. But then Tanaka, he has a partially torn UCL. He's going to be missing months no matter what. He might not need Tommy John, but
He's not going to be able to put up the stats and the numbers to back up rookie of the year. As good as he's been.
And meanwhile, Abreu's leading the AL in slugging and home runs. So no one's catching Abreu if Tanaka's out. So
what a find for the White Sox. And to get him and to have this type of production immediately.
Yeah, I threw this in my column, but did you see his stats in like his final Cuban League season? Something like a .453 batting average, .600 on base percentage, and a .925 slugging.
That's incredible.
Yeah, Jonah Korea had this great story on him before he came over, just the best hitter you've never heard of, and I guess Jonah was right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then over in the NL, Billy Hamilton.
Billy Hamilton has killed my Brewers. I went to a Reds game earlier, and man, he's hitting home runs. He had probably about two or three home runs in the series. Yeah. Stuff. You got to give him credit. He's not necessarily a five to a player, but he's got a decent enough pop.
Yeah, I guess Hamilton, the story coming up was, you know, he can run, but he can't steal first base. And he's something like, what, a .270 hitter with decent on-base percentage?
Mm-hmm.
And it also helps that there are no other good rookies in the NL right now.
Not particularly.
Like maybe if Anthony Rendon didn't get an extended stay last year, maybe he would probably be the challenger. But it's Hamilton, I guess. You know, pretty hard to beat him now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't feel like discussing Manager of the Year just because that's an improvement award for the team.
Improvement for the team and something you really can't gauge at the moment either.
Yeah, I mean. Maybe you have to Bob Melvin in the AL just because, you know, I love what the A's do. I love how they are playing. Another thing they do great is they use their platoons because that gives you better matchups against pitchers and also gives you depth in case one half that platoon goes, you still have a decent player around. And Melvin just does that as well as any guy, you know.
It's remarkable what the A's have done with the roster. I mean, you can name a few guys on their team, but this is not a team with any, like, bona fide, you know, great offensive, defensive player, whatever. Yeah. I mean, this is a bunch of ragtag guys that come together and they fit their roles.
Yeah,
and that's what they're great at.
You have Coco Crisp, Derek Norris, John Jaso, Josh Donaldson, Brandon Moss, Sean Doolittle. It's just, the list goes on. They have a ton of good players.
And the rotation, I mean, name a guy in the rotation. You got Scott Kazmir, is probably the only notable name. And he's come back from...
Yeah. They did acquire Samardzija, huge. Yeah, it's a very it's interesting that Billy Beane's just like, okay, my shit's working in the playoffs this year. We're going all in. And the funny part is they might even win their division, though, because unfortunately for them, the second best team in baseball is, you know, really now their necks with the Angels. You know, they have like a .620 winning percentage, and they're only a game and a half up on the Angels right now.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite stats from the first half is Oakland's run differential. Whatever it is, it's light years ahead of everybody else. It's plus
50-something, 60,
yeah. Yeah, like something around there. And the next closest is what, like 80 or 90.
Top in the major leagues right now is Oakland with 145. Second best is 89.
It's incredible.
That's insane, yeah.
And they've had that great run differential for weeks now. It's not something that they, you know, just went on a hot streak or anything. They've had that for weeks.
Yeah, they consistently blow teams out. They are just so good. They have so many players who can, you know, throw in a 3-for-5 performance with a home run, an extra base hit. You know, just so many players who can hurt you, and they're good. I mean, but that said, the Angels, I feel the Angels the last couple of years have been a great example of why superstars in baseball feel a little less important, just because they get Mike Trout, they get Josh Hamilton, Jared Weaver, Albert Pujols. But they were never, they were still mediocre because they had not, they had one of the worst farm systems in baseball, and their young players weren't really doing much. But I mean, this year you have guys like Garrett Richards, Tyler Skaggs, Eric Ibar, Chris Iannetta, Howie Kendrick. Those guys are producing, and that's what's actually put them over the top.
The role players.
Yeah, Trout's been as good as always. Pujols hasn't been, you know, he's still probably the worst contract in baseball right now, but he's at least playing pretty good for a first baseman.
Decent, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the West, you know, even Seattle's good. They have actually the third best run differential in baseball, which is just insane. It's a really competitive division. I feel like Oakland, with their depth, is most likely to keep it going. So I guess they're probably the smart pick for the rest of the West.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's tough to argue against them, especially with what they did in the first half and now acquiring Jeff Samardzija. And I don't know if they're going to try to acquire anybody else, but yeah. I don't know if they need to.
I mean, a big thing is the Angels. They don't really have any movable assets that make them, like, any movable assets they're not using right now. Their farm system is beyond, it's probably the worst in baseball, according to Jason Parks of Baseball Prospectus, who's great. If they're going to make a trade, it's going to come from a place that's going to hurt them if they lose. Yeah. All right, moving east to the Central. Tigers are up 6.5 on the Royals. This feels like as clear as a one-horse race as you're going to get in baseball right now.
Yeah, it's just an overall weak division. Yeah. I like the Royals, but they're not. They're just nowhere near the same level as Detroit is.
Yeah.
And Detroit's had such a good track record over the last, what, 5-6 years of consistently being at the top of that division. Yeah. And when you have rebuilding Twins and, you know, the middling Indians.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, mentioning the Twins, those guys are going to be a monster in 5 years just because their farm system is so stacked. For now, they're bad. The White Sox, pretty bad. Indians, I want to like the Indians, but
I want to like the Indians too.
They have some great, like Corey Kluber is awesome. I was so angry that he didn't make the All-Star game, but they still just don't really seem to be interested in leaving the Cleveland zone of 500 ball. So the only challenger left is really the Royals, and they're the Royals.
Yeah, very, very volatile team going on a 10-game win streak earlier in the year. And I want to say they followed that up by losing like 5 in a row or something.
Yeah, it's just Randy Jazzerly, he's a Sabermetrics blogger, runs a great Royal site. He's a great follow on Twitter, but God, it can get depressing just reading his impressions. Okay, going to the East, you have the Orioles with a 4-game lead over Toronto, who's been fading pretty badly the last few weeks. But this division is just a clusterfuck. I mean,
yeah. I mean, the Rays really shot themselves in the foot with the early injuries, and they have been playing better lately. But I mean, how many games are they back?
They're back 9.5.
They're not going to catch Baltimore. Well, I don't think so.
I mean, never say the Rays aren't going to catch a team. They're 10 games behind because 2011.
That's true.
But once again, like this division, I could really see any of them winning. Toronto has me worried because if they're going to win, it's probably going to be because they acquired some pretty good assets, but for way too steep a price. They have some pretty good pitchers in their farm system, but I just worry that they'll overpay. Kind of like what they did to get R.A. Dickey, who right now is just decidedly mediocre.
Mm-hmm. I think Boston's content to let it go and rebuild. They've got a lot of younger players that really stepped up last year for the championship run, and, you know, these guys have had, you know, mediocre seasons this year, and I think they'll be fine in the long run, but not this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna go with a gut and say Yankees. Can't really explain why, but they're still like.
Really?
I don't know. This division feels like I could pull any name out of a hat.
Yeah, and, I don't. I just don't. I don't see New York doing that though. Yeah. I mean, they just lost their best pitcher for maybe the season.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it feels weird that we're in this new normal of just how the Yankees, they're just probably going to get worse and worse as the years go on because there's this continuing trend in baseball. Sign your stars to an extension. If you want to be even remotely good over the next 10 years, you have to sign your good players to extensions. And unfortunately, that kills the team that does not, that signs the players that you should have signed to extensions. That was the Yankees. It's going to be the Dodgers soon, but still going to mark a pretty bad decline for them.
Yeah, I mean, you just start to think about, you know, back on their last championship team, which was 2009. Yeah. Were there any homegrown stars on that team?
Well, Jeter.
Well, okay, Jeter. Besides Jeter, though, you're looking forward.
Yeah, that was the year they signed Sabathia and Teixeira for ungodly amounts of money.
A.J. Burnett.
Yeah, it's just, that's probably not going to be a... That's not going to happen in the next few years unless, you know, a major demographic, a major shift occurs where extensions are suddenly not, you know, the economically best thing to do. Okay, and now going to the National League, the East, that's a pretty clear two-horse race between the Braves and the Nats, you know. They're seven games ahead of the Mets, and they're
nobody's catching Mets. Those two. Braves and Nationals, both great pitching staffs. I would give the edge to Washington. I think just a little bit of a stronger lineup, a bit of a stronger team.
Yeah. The thing with the Braves, though, is they always feel so underrated just because they have this bizarre ability to pull a good pitcher out of their ass, turn Aaron Harang, Ben Sheets, you know, get good starts out of the guys. And it's infuriating to me because I'm a Nationals fan. But they're still behind. Like, they scored, what, their run differential for last season, for the last half season was, what, 50 worse than the Nats, and then that was the Nationals without productive Bryce Harper. So I guess you just have to give it to the Nationals at this point. But
yeah.
The Braves, you know, they do some front office stuff really well. They could still pull it out.
Absolutely. But right now, give the edge to the Nats.
All right. Going to the Central. Boy.
This is a stacked division. There are four legitimate teams. And the Cubs, I mean, I know the Cubs are the Cubs right now. But they're not a cakewalk when you got to go through Rizzo and Castro. You can't look at the Cubs and say, okay, here's three wins for me. You know, I can get back and gain some games.
Yeah.
This is a legit division. You've got the Brewers got out to a great start, had an awful two-week stretch going into the break. Brewers still have a pretty good pitching staff and a decent enough bullpen and a great lineup. It's hard to argue against them. But the track record of a team like St. Louis, how it does, you know, they've had these injuries in the past and they still contend.
Yeah, I mean, they lost Yachty, though, and that's the player you can't really lose you don't want to lose if you're St. Louis, like anyone but Yachty.
That's true. I just, you know, when you follow the Cardinals, they're always there. They're always there. And it doesn't matter what type of injuries they have to sustain. They churn out guys, and they have great depth. They've been able to maintain a great minor league system while also keeping their major league team at the, you know, cream of the crop of baseball.
Yeah, I feel like that's just the thing the Cards do. Oh, one of their pitchers got injured. Oh, they're going to bring that guy they drafted in the first round that every prospect guy in baseball says, oh, he should be really good when he comes up. It's what they do. They are unmatched in player development, and it's really sad to behold.
Some of the finds they've had in the past, you know, 5-6 years.
Matt Adams, Trevor Rosenthal, just guys you can pull out the 15th round.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, didn't someone? Oh, never mind. Sorry. And then also the Reds and the Pirates, they're there, both above 500. Both
they're there.
Yeah, I'd say the Reds are probably much closer into it because you know they've had much better run. They've actually had the best run differential in the division right now, but they did lose Joey Votto, so you kind of have to worry.
Yeah.
So, I guess I'll say Reds.
Say Reds. Just appealing to Gray. Okay.
Gray has put the gun down.
I'm going to give it to the Brewers. That might be a biased homer selection, but the thing is, you know, you have a first half like that. The ownership, Mark Attanasio, the owner of the Brewers, you know, for better or for worse, they may try to pull out some trade. They have no minor league assets. but they're probably going to try to pull out some trade that it will net them somebody in return that could put them over the top.
Well, where could they really improve?
Back into the starting rotation, for sure. Okay. Marco Estrada is serving up beach balls. Yeah. He's led the league. He's got like, he's allowed like 29 home runs or something.
He's tied with Jose Abreu for most home runs in baseball. But yeah, one thing I do want to know about the Brewers, though, their rotation has been incredibly healthy. Because it feels like every year there's that one team, every starter starts. Last year was the Reds. The year before was the Nationals. Maybe it was the Reds in 2012 then. Gray is signaling to me I was wrong there. So thank you, Gray. But it's fluky, but, you know, it still helps them. You know, maybe the Brewers keep it going.
I believe Milwaukee's only had 6 starters this year when you include Jimmy Nelson. Maybe a 7th. I can't think of one, though. To the Brewers in their 2011 run, they won 96 games, best in franchise history. They won the Central Division. They had great pitching that year. They only had 6 starters. They were throwing Marco Estrada as a spot starter guy, which is a role he can do. But you ask him to pitch every 5th day, and it's a little sketchy.
And also going back to 2012, the Nationals, the Reds both had really solid rotations. They finished with 98, 97 games respectively, and that's because, you know, they didn't have to replace anyone. I mean, the Nationals that year, the only replacement they made was when they tried Chien-Ming Wang instead of Ross Detweiler. That went terribly. They changed it back. It went really well.
Yeah, the Brewers have the health right now, and they are the current leaders, so I'm going to give them the favorite right now.
And then going out to the West, about as clear as a two-horse race as, you know, in the East, you have the Dodgers and the Giants. After that, San Diego is 11 games back from the Giants, so, and it's San Diego, so.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of these two. Maybe the second one gets the wild card over the loser in the East and one of the survivors of the Central. But for now,
you got to say the Dodgers, I think, at least.
Well, going back to when the Giants had the best record in baseball, they really just seemed lucky. A lot of stuff came out, you know, the record in the one-run games. They were outperforming the run differential. They were getting a lot of starts that seemed a little fluky from some of their guys. And now they fell back to earth. They were as unlucky as they were lucky. I feel like now we're at their normal. You know, they do feel like a team that wins maybe like 55% of their games, which is where they're at right now. Mm. But unfortunately, the Dodgers are a monster.
Yeah.
Yasiel Puig, D. Gordon, Clayton Kershaw is just doing historic things right now. Just historic.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be the Dodgers.
Yeah. Jonah Carey's article the other day about 22 tidbits on Clayton Kershaw was some of the stats were incredible. One that sticks out is that during his 41 inning scoreless streak, he allowed an OPS, an on base plus slugging percentage, to opposing hitters. It was like .307. And you compare that to the total OPS of MLB pitchers this year, and MLB pitchers have batted .305 OPS.
Yeah.
So basically, he's facing lineups with 9 pitchers.
Yeah, he is magical. Just magical.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you put, I mean, 2 of his best starts came against the Rockies, the unequivocal best, like, holistically offensive team in baseball.
Yeah, and plus they've got some pretty good backup for him. Zach Greinke, Hyunjin Ryu, both doing really well. I'm still surprised by Ryu, because coming in he seemed like he'd just be a deception lefty, you know, league average, but ever since he's come in he's been a good ERA guy. He's eating up innings pretty well, and yeah, he's just been a really solid pitcher. And then Josh Beckett is having a comeback year. I'm not really sure how much that's going to last, because his feeling independent pitching, you know, the kind of stuff that predicts ERA going forward, it seems to think that he's really outperforming his peripherals. So I'm a little worried about him. Dan Heron has been pretty bad, like he was last year with the Nationals. The problem is, you know, he has no velocity, and he's starting to serve up beach balls like Estrada. So, I mean, that's still a really good rotation. I wouldn't put it ahead of the Nationals. You know, I mean, their worst starter has like a 3.5 ERA right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a good rotation. It's still, like, it can't really be stated just how bad the bottom three of the West, the NL West, is compared to the top two. The Rockies are probably the worst pitching team in baseball.
No pitching.
Padres have no hitting.
No hitting.
And the Diamondbacks are just, they're so unlikable. and so bad, and that makes them so fun.
Yeah. You go back to that game where Kirk Gibson, they intentionally hit Ryan Braun to load the bases, and then the very next pitch, Luke Roy hits a grand slam.
Yeah.
And I believe they were up by 3. I mean, why would you put the tying run on base?
Yeah, it's hilarious because this is just, you reap what you sow. What happens when you trade away Justin Upton, Trevor Bauer, Tyler Skaggs, Adam Eden? They've traded away so many good players because they've decided that they want to be this gritty team, that's how they want to win. Maybe they just want to win. Like, being gritty doesn't give you bonus points. Maybe it makes you likable unless you are kind of arrogant about it, as they are right now. So it's just, they've burned through their young assets, and now they're set with guys like Martin Prado.
Role players that are being asked to do way too much. Yeah, they've got their one asset in Goldschmidt, and they've got Gregorius outside of that.
Yeah, it's not, they're trying to be the Athletics, maybe, you know, going for depth, but the problem is the Athletics are so much better at player development.
Right.
But really, I guess that's all what we have to say about the races. Anything else you want to note?
I'm excited for the second half of baseball. Going back tomorrow, starting back up.
Yep.